World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good Monday morning, February 12th. This used to be Abraham Lincoln's birthday, wasn't it? Before they pulled that fast one on us and they gave us President's Day. I don't know if you noticed this. I'm going to throw it out there just in case you haven't. We used to have Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, the other way around. Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, and they were about a week apart. One was one was the 12th and one was the 20th. And then when this right-wing watch, you're going to like this. When this attack on American history and this attack on Americanism and this attack on great white hopes, great white men of America, when Dr. King got killed, have you noticed this? He has his own day, and all the presidents now share one. Interesting, isn't it? This used to be Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Well, it's still his birthday, but we used to celebrate it as Lincoln's birthday. February 12th, 2018. Man, oh, man, where in the world is time going? Just got back from Neo Show, Joplin, Missouri, through Tulsa, via Columbus, via St. Louis, via wherever, got in late last night. Anxious to get back in here today. And I just want to thank you. I continue to be amazed that I look here right now. We got a full queue. Maybe we might have room for one more person. And I know for some of you, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 6 a.m. and you're up watching this. Some guys out there, it's 4 a.m. and they're up and watching it live. So I want you to know how much I appreciate it. We try to bring bread to you. We try to bring the bread of life to you every morning. We mix it with a little bit of the world so we can see that we're creating this stew of the world and how these two things come together. I just want you to know that I'm honored that you guys would be there. I remember I did our first show back January 25th, 2016, I think it was. It was me and Mike Heath and Pete LaBarbera. That's it. I thought, I got to get back on the radio. I used to be on the radio, terrestrial radio. I used to do a lot of different radio. And I said, man, I got to get back on. I just got to get back on the radio. I didn't know how to do it. We came up with this idea of Google Hangouts, and Mike Heath connected me to his son, Jared. Jared thought I was an a-hole, but he was making some money doing it, so he did it. And now here's Jared two years and 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, and he had missed one. And do the math on that, how many shows that would be. And everywhere I go, we had a great time in Joplin this weekend. I'm going to talk about that here a little bit. And just want to encourage you. I'm on day 12 of my fast. I don't know where you guys are with your fast. I'm still on mine. I believe I'm going to alter it today. If you remember last week on Friday, I said I thought maybe I was going to alter it then, but I didn't have a release all weekend. And those guys out there, Kevin Van Story, he had some good food. Those guys like to eat. But the Lord didn't release me, and I believe he's released me today to break my fast today and modify it. I haven't figured out what that modification is going to be yet. But boy, I'm telling you guys, I'm alive. Serge, you still with us on your fast? Remember, yes. You don't get brownie points if you don't get brownie points if not. All right. Oh, you quit. Oh, come on. No, it's not about that. Lord, Holy Spirit will let you know. You still doing it, Serge?
Yes, sir. Very, all right. Very, very good. And, I met Doug. Remember Doug?
Yes.
From Buffalo?
Yes.
I met with him.
Praise the Lord.
At Denny's. And over the weekend, I decided that I've been eating dinner, one meal a day.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I decided over the weekend that I'm going to cut that in half, even less.
You like lifting those weights, huh, brother?
Amen. Amen.
Remember, no brownie points. You need brownie points for doing it. The Holy Spirit changes you. Changes you. That's what goes on during a fast. So anybody else that's out there, again, when the Holy Spirit releases you, then you can come off of it. You can moderate. Let me tell you something you have to be very careful with. And I don't know how many of you have been doing a food fast. But if you've been doing a food fast, if you're going 12 days without food, like I've done, be careful coming off of it. Okay. Don't gorge yourself. Come off of it gradually. Come off with easy digestible foods, some salads and juices and stuff like that. And, so that you get your bounce back. Some of you are going to say, oh man, I love it. I lost a lot of weight. Well, that weight's going to come back on you pretty quickly as well. Your body goes back into some type of survival mode and shuts down a little bit. And then when you begin to eat again, all that nutrition that's been zapped from you, your body wants to immediately begin to try to store some of that stuff again. So be very careful when you come off of it. Okay. Serge said he's eating one meal a day. Serge, don't eat 15 meals a day. If you know what I'm talking about, right? Don't say, man, I got to make up for lost time here. And, we had a powerful time. I want to throw this up here as a joke real quick. Jared, first thing I have there is picture. Mark Trump. I don't know if Mark in here with us today? I don't know if he is. I haven't checked. Yeah,
yes.
I think he is. Mark Trump sent this.
Mark's here.
Mark sent this to me last night, I guess. I woke up this morning and this was on my phone. And I suppose this is what I would look like, Mark, if I had, if I got a facelift or something. There's some type of app that he's come up with where you can make people look younger. Tell me if you think I ought to have this done to me here.
Yeah, that's Facebook Analytics.
That's Facebook Analytics. Explain that to us, Mark.
So whenever you're in Facebook, you'll see these advertisements to make you look younger, maybe make you look like a girl.
You right? Make me look like more of a homosexual with eyeshadow and all that. Yeah, I like the real me, to be honest with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, get these advertisements. Well, the analytics that runs that, I found them. And was able to produce collages of all my family, right? But it's kind of interesting. Now, what's the implications? What's it mean? Well, the criminal investigation databases can run analytics over the original Coach Dave face there on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bad part about it is I created this version of Coach Dave on the right. So now Facebook analytics and the criminal databases have a new face of Coach Dave out on the internet. That's that. The implications of that, you know, or whatever.
You mean so in other words, the homosexual version of Coach Dave's now out on the internet?
No, I didn't create that. But the point is when everyone runs these advertisements, they're creating faces that are stored in the cloud before they run the fun game and change their face. The change face is not in the cloud. So in other words, if analytics are running from a police department, they say, Facebook, we need all your pictures. They wouldn't have the one on the right had I not created it.
So you created it now. They will have that one.
They it's out on the internet. That's right, Coach Dave. Maybe some I shouldn't have done here, but it's an example. Plus,
hey, cool.
If somebody's like you, I'm like, I wanted to see if you would look at a picture of your own and see how close that was of you. I don't know how close that is.
Well, hang on a second. Give me a second. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to show you.
Hang on, man.
Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. I'll be back.
No. But the point is here is as we create, well, the idea is even before AI, we created our pictures. We put them out there for the police database, right?
I knew at some point I was going to use this thing.
Yeah.
Let me get my microphone. I try to hide my microphone from all of you out there. Let me get myself reattached here real quickly. Let me get my earbuds back in so I can hear you. And here's one from 1983. That looks to me like it would be about that age.
Yeah.
It doesn't look nothing like the picture.
No, really don't. You're right.
Move it closer to the camera.
Well, it's kind of hard, Chad, and keeping it that left. You know, it's kind of hard because I'd have to tell it like that, you know?
That is so funny.
Man.
You know, putting it closer, it might look a little closer to it. Yeah. Well, it looks pretty close.
Here's the thing. See, this the one you have on the screen, that's me after eating GMOs and aborted baby parts inside of Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola and all that. So this one is GMO pure, no GMOs, and that's so it's probably accurate.
Yeah,
that's probably accurate. Now, hey Serge, or Mark, so if I start hearing from all these homosexual groups, guys start hitting on me, I got you to blame. Is that right?
No, sir.
Because there ain't no woman in her right mind who'd want a hump piece of that guy right there. None.
Hey, Coach, I think you're going a little fast. No pun intended.
I'll take that picture up. Michelle, you can't see that. I know she's listening. You can't see that, honey.
Yeah. So let's go back just real quick to summarize. The stuff that we put on the internet is the stuff the police are using, okay? Mm. They are using Facebook as a facial recognition database. But they don't see the future.
So this would show up somewhere in their database then, huh, Mark?
Well, it's in Facebook's cloud. Now, you run analytics, it's going to run analytics against that face that I created. Not your face. So if I create my future self, I'm populating, I'm in some crime in the future because I'm in the database. Now I'm basically giving them the picture of me to compare against the camera out in the, you know, whenever some crime happens. So.
Well, here's the thing too. We assume that they don't have pictures of us when we were younger.
Yeah.
They have pictures of us from all the way through, I'm sure.
Yeah, because our family puts us out there. We put ourselves out there. We populate their database. Now, where AI comes in is AI just wants the data. The companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, so forth, to gather our information, as much of it as they can.
I bet Obama likes that one. I bet Obama likes that picture of me.
Yeah, so I guess this is a learning lesson, right? Don't put things on the internet that you don't need out there. And I use that as an example for really this show, you know, to kind of give you an idea of what it means when you play these games on Facebook. What does it mean? You're populating a cloud server is what's happening.
Yeah, it may not seem important to us, but it is important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Piece it together and figure out well, what's the implications of me doing this, you know, and there's always implications. Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, as we're finding out through this whole FBI investigation, all the stuff that's out there, to think that you would have 30,000 emails, but they can capture 30,000 emails, that they have them, is, you know, it's pretty amazing. So as you've taught me, Mark, everything's data. Everything is data. I was on the airplane coming back from we flew into St. Louis last night. Now with St. Louis, big airplane, and everybody on their plane was on their phone. It's like unbelievable. And not only was everybody on their phone, they were all connected to the internet in some way as they're sitting there. And I shared with the guys on Saturday, if you have a hard time being convinced about artificial intelligence and the fact that they're spying on you and data and all the stuff that Mark's been sharing with us. Why don't you think about this a second? To show you how great and how good and how awesome God is. Right now, I could turn my phone on and I connect immediately to the internet. Let me get that up. There's my granddaughter on that. I do whatever. I connect immediately to the internet, right? I can go to Facebook. I can go to YouTube. I can go to Coach Dave Live. I can do whatever. Or I can even do this. I could say, hey, Siri, what's the temperature today? And Sam down. She's like, so Siri, I don't even know who Siri is or where Siri is, but I know this, that I can speak into this thing and somebody knows where I am. And when I say, what's the temperature today? They tell me what the temperature is today. Now that means that I am communicating with something out there. I don't know what it is. Well, I could do this. I could speak into this thing right here, and I could say, hey, Siri, how far is it to Joplin, Missouri?
It looks like Joplin is about 684 miles away as the crow flies.
Now think about that. I spoke into that thing, and think of the information that Siri had to go through. If I were to pick up a phone and I would call somebody and say, how far is it to Joplin, Missouri? Well, the first thing they would have to say is, well, where are you? Where are you? Siri in an instant told me exactly how far it was. Huh? Not only how long it would, if, as a crow flies, in other words, if I were to fly it, or if I were to drive it, tells me both of them, right? So I want this to encourage you here today. GPS is really and truly God positioning system. So if it's capable, if it's possible for all, if I told all of you guys right now, all of you right now, if we said 1, 2, 3, all of us send a text, and you, let's say it didn't matter what you put on there, you put something on there, and I say, okay, guys, everybody hit the send button. Boom. Somehow, every one of those texts would go at the same time. I don't know where they would go, but they would go. So when you ask, when somebody says, how can God hear our prayers when all these people are out here? Well, the internet does. The internet treats me just like I'm the only one in communication with it. So when the Holy Spirit's up there, the Holy Spirit, and I pray to the Holy Spirit, and Kevin in Maine prays to the Holy Spirit, and Kevin out in Missouri prays to the Holy Spirit, and Lindell down there, and wherever he is down there in Peru prays to, it's just like GPS, God positioning system. If it can instantaneously stay in contact with everybody at once, there's got to be a God, isn't it? Isn't that awesome?
Hey, Coach.
Let that build your faith a little bit. Yeah, Mark.
All right, let's take it one more step. Let's say you want to think about the temperature. All right, you got it. Think about the miles. Let's say you think about the map. So you think about the conference meeting. This is what Elon Musk is building in Neuralink. Wow. Neuralink is connecting you to the internet so you can just think. You don't need a keyboard. You don't need an inconvenient phone to carry around. Now, apply that to your statement. You're that connected to God. All you got to do is think about him.
It is. Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, it's really, really profound.
It's absolutely true. Now, what's the internet to God? That's the spirit. When you're in the spirit, that's your internet to him.
Well, we talked about that yesterday, Mark. Let me dive into that a little bit. I had to chuckle. Kevin's on here this morning. So I'll give Kevin a chance to pipe in. You know, remember last week we were going to go to Neosho, Missouri, which really is Joplin, Missouri, to do a spiritual boot camp. And Kevin's been working hard. Kevin Van Story has been working hard to get it organized. And he said, you know, I can round us up a crowd and come on out there. So we made plans to do it. And I flew into Tulsa, Oklahoma, where George is. I know George with us this morning. George is almost always with us. So George picked me up at the airport. And then we jumped in the car with Paul and with Danny. And we drove down to Joplin, Missouri to be part of the event there. And Kevin was there. And Ray LeBlanc drove in from wherever. Ray comes from all over the world, wherever he came in. And Craig came in. Altemeyer came in with Ray. They came in together. And when it was all said and done, when the event was over yesterday at noon, there were six of them. Four guys that came in my car. Me, George, Danny, Paul, Ray, Craig, and Kevin. Now, we picked up Doug, who's a caretaker at the church, and Kevin's wife and daughter. And of course, they cooked food for us. I'm sorry. Yeah, they were good to us. Everybody was good to us. Big snow. We can blame it on the ice storm. But I want to continue to impress upon everybody that it's broad and narrow. It's many and it's few. And I learned a long time ago, and I hope Kevin, I'll let him jump here in a minute. I hope he's not discouraged by numbers, because it's not about numbers. Lord, the Lord let me see again, because I'm your clarity becomes so much better when you fast. I think. My fingers are tingling. I'm sharp today. And the Lord helped me see something yesterday. He says, he didn't say, I assumed he said. In the dialogue I have with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm trying to build a team. That's what the Lord's called me to do, is coach a team. Not just coach a team, but put a team together that's going to have some tremendous impact in the times in which we live. And the Holy Spirit said to me, ask me however that works. How can you have a team without coaching? That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. And I got pondering that. That's the issue in our mega churches, isn't it? 5,000 people and, Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, he's our pastor. Oh yeah, how many people there? 12,000? Oh, does he know you? No, I've never met him. I've never met him. Well, how does he pastor you? Well, he preaches at us on Sunday. No. When I was putting together a football team, before I put the football team together, I had to go out and get some assistant coaches. Because the assistant coaches were the ones who taught the players how to play, taught what it was all about. And so the Holy Spirit impressed upon me that I am still in the, if you can take this comparison, I'm in the staff building mode. I'm building a coaching staff. Some of the coaches are ahead of others. Chad's ahead of some. Kevin Sarge is ahead of some. Been at it long. Rob Pugh's offensive coordinator, man. Chad's special teams guy. Bushy's defensive coordinator. I'm putting together a coaching staff. Because ultimately, here's what I believe is going to happen. This thing is going to explode. And how can I minister to guys in Joplin? How can I pull them together? How can I pull guys together in Roanoke, Virginia? I can't do that. I can come on here. I won't be any different than Creflo Dollar. Everybody come and watch and try to let me pastor you. No, that didn't way work. And so I don't get discouraged anymore. I was hoping there'd be 50 there, but I'm telling you, I'm so glad there wasn't. Hey, Jared, throw up on the screen real quick. And I'm not going to bore you with this, folks. I promise you. Jared just says, what's it say? It says new ministers. We ordained 6 guys yesterday. It's powerful, man. Oh my goodness.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it was this weekend was so powerful. I can't even tell you. And so at the conclusion yesterday afternoon, I got to find you, Jared. Yeah, did you get that picture, Jared? Did you get it up there? Here it comes. Look at that. We laid hands on and ordained 6 men of God yesterday. Ray, Paul, Kevin, and Craig's up at the top. George is in the middle. There's George. God bless George. What a heart George Lewis has. And Danny. And we ordained them as ministers of the gospel. And Craig up there at the top with a beard on. Craig, I'd never met Craig. Craig's one of the guys that we helped get down to Port Arthur to do drywall and everything down there. Craig wants to take his ordination and go into the jails. He wants to go in and rescue those guys inside the jails. He spent some time there. He wants to do that.
Wow.
Ray's just Mr. Johnny Appleseed. He wants, Ray, are you, is Ray, guys, listen, I want you to hear this stuff. I want you to hear that the Lord is doing something unbelievable. I don't think Ray's with us. I want you to hear this. I wish he was. Maybe I can get him tomorrow to do it. Ray LeBlanc, the guy standing beside me in the blue hat there. Ray LeBlanc went to Bible college 38 years ago. Started in Bible college to become a minister. And as life happens, he got knocked off course. And then got knocked off course, went into the world as we all do, came back, a lot of things. We met him a year ago here, I think it was a year ago, when we had our event here in Columbus out at the gathering with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar. Ray shows up in his van and recently lost his wife. I found all this stuff out later. And there has been a call on Ray's life that he acknowledged 38 years ago. 38 years ago. And yesterday, I was able to lay hands on Ray LeBlanc and fulfill that vision in his life 38 years ago to be an ordained minister of God. Isn't that unbelievable, though?
Amen.
The faithfulness of the Lord. And Ray's one of those guys. He's contagious. He's a Johnny Appleseed. Ray picked up some guy that he saw walking along the road, and he brought him with him. Now, it ended up not being a good situation, but that's the heart that Ray LeBlanc has. And Paul, I'm not going to take the time to go on and on and on and on. I want you to know this. Jared, can you slide that picture a little bit? George Lewis is the guy in the middle. And then this guy, Danny, George isn't in here, is he? I forget Danny's name. Danny, I'm sorry, I forget your name. Sorry, I do. Forget your name. Last name. Danny doesn't really listen to the show. But Danny's awake, and he understands what's going on, and he can rattle off scripture. And he's one of those lost sheep out there that I'm always talking about, always talking about. And George has been working on Danny, and Paul's been working on Danny, and they get together every once in a while, and Danny made the trip. And you know what Danny was? Danny was a freaking volcano of frustration inside of him for the things of the Lord. No outlet. Now, one of the things we did on Saturday morning, we went to the streets. We went out in front of Planned Parenthood, although we didn't end up in front of Planned Parenthood. We ended up down the street a little bit, out where the main drag was, holding signs about abortion. We all made our own signs. We went out there. It's cold. It was rainy. It's miserable. We were out there about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. And I'm telling you what, Danny, it's like I told him, Danny, it's like somebody took a plunger and rammed it up your hind end. And man, oh man, did he erupt with the things of the Lord. And he had a cleansing that took place in his life, as he had for the first time in like forever. He had an outlet for what was inside of him. It was powerful to watch him. I said, "You're Danny the Zealot." You know, in the Bible, they call him Simon the Zealot. Danny's a zealot. And Danny, it's okay to be a zealot. We want zealots. We want zealots. We were able to lay our hands on Danny yesterday and send him out and send Paul out. Oh, my goodness. It's powerful. It's powerful. Kevin, are you there, Kevin? Can you just share a little bit? Hey, fellas, listen, I'm telling you, I want you all to mark this down. Here's one of the visions that I have, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it. You can mark it down. June 15, 16, and 17. June 15, 16, and 17. We're having a national gathering of men here in the Columbus, Ohio area. Start saving now to be here. Now, one of the things that's going to happen during that June 15, 16, 17 timeframe, that's when the Homosexual Pride Parade is in Columbus, Ohio. It's the largest homosexual pride, second largest in America. Unbelievable. Some of you have been there. It's unbelievable. And we're going to have, I don't want to call it a boot camp. We can call it whatever we want to. We can call it a gathering of eagles. I don't care what we call it. I want all of you guys. I told them yesterday, I know hundreds of guys. Like, I didn't know Craig before. I know him now. And I know Craig, and I know Michael Andrews, but Craig doesn't know Michael Andrews. And I know George, but George doesn't know Rob Pugh. And I know Rob Pugh, but Paul doesn't know Rob Pugh. And so what I want to try to do is I want to bring all of us together in one room so we can look around and say, "Oh my goodness. Look at this coaching staff we have. Oh my goodness." Go do some street ministry, eat some hamburgers, get to know each other. June 15 through 17. Mark it on your calendar. Yeah, Vin.
Well, we call it the real Pride Parade, and let's take pride back.
Well, buddy, I got some plans that I'm not going to divulge over the, you get it? Those homos are going to be after me enough because that picture Mark Trump put up. I mean, they're going to be after me as it is. Because, you know, they're always, thanks, Jared. You know why? Because they're always saying, I hear them from these guys all the time saying, like, "Well, he's a closeted homo. Anybody fights against homos, that he's a closeted homo." Well, I look like one now. Hey, Mark, you got me out of the closet.
Hello, Frisco.
So anyway, hey, guys. Coach, go ahead, Mark.
I think you put that out there on the news now. I sent that picture to you personally.
Yeah, I screwed it up. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Oh, well. So, March, really, guys, June 15, 16, and 17. I haven't made any of the arrangements yet as to where we're going to do it. I don't know. I know God is doing something, really, because when we were at Neosho out there in Joplin, Kevin Van Story, I'm going to bring in here in a second, is a member of a church out there it's old people and it's dying. I'm not making fun of the church. Okay. I'm not making fun of it. It's old people. And doesn't have a lot of bounce in its step. And it's beautiful church, beautiful facilities. And Kevin said to me, Coach, this is available. This is available for boot camps. Man, oh man, oh man. See, the Lord, guys, I'm telling you this. The Lord sees what's going on and he's plugging the pieces in. It's not us. We just have to be obedient to go and do what it is that he's called us to do. Kevin, I'm going to flick the switch a little bit to you and just let you share your heart. Because I know, you guys remember Kevin said, we're going to have 50, we're going to have 100. Well, he found out that a lot of guys lie. They don't want to do it. If we had free steaks, maybe 50 guys would have shown up. Free porn, maybe we'd have 100 guys. But this isn't for everybody. And why? Because we're putting together a coaching staff. And I shared with her, I'll share that. I heard you, Lord. I'll share that before I'm done. Go ahead. Kevin, come on in here a second, man. Share with us.
Well, first of all, Coach, I have to say thank you very much for being courageous and fearless enough to come down and do this. Cause you knew you've done this before. You know, I've had a lot of people, share stuff with me and said that they were going to be invested. They would, we want to do this. We want to do this. You know what? They're blowing smoke out their butt. What became a realization this weekend? Now, of course, we had several factors that did not help us a bit. You know, I even put out there that there was going to be food available. Well, you know, if you put free food available and it's not costing anything, that usually will generate somebody. But then the fact that we had a major winter storm and an ice storm come in here at the same time, everybody just decided to wrap up in their blankets and sat in front of their TVs and continue with the indoctrination that they've been going through the rest of their whole life. Right. But I want to tell you, guys, Coach, I praise God for putting you in my life. I don't know how it happened, but it was supernatural. The things that went on.
Amen.
I'm 54 years old. I have never in my life felt the power of the Holy Spirit and a spiritual melding of strong alpha males.
Kevin, listen, there were strong alpha males weeping on Saturday. I'm not talking about tears coming down there. I'm talking about weeping.
Amen.
That's what Kevin's talking about. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, it was that's it. You know, there was tears coming out of the eyes, but this was souls weeping and souls that have been yearning to find truth and to find the light. And I'm going to tell you, there were six of us this weekend along with Coach. And if you get 40 or 50 of us in one place, man, the light is going to be so intense that people will not be able to stand it. They will run away from us in fear. We won't have to have any weapons because our lights are so bright.
Mm-hmm.
It was Coach's plan.
Such a thing was common in the Bible. It's called where some of the early Christians went, it turned cities upside down.
Brother, I did it. Yep. I did it. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you. Stay right there, Kevin. I did it. The Holy Spirit gave me a thing on Saturday. Are you converted? The difference between being saved and being converted. Brother, that broke us, didn't it, Kevin? That broke us.
It did. It did. You found the Spirit put the right words and the right way to present that. And you know, if there had been 40 or 50 guys there, you would have never been able to put this together.
You couldn't
because
have done
this it. Was such, you know, because this was just a small unit of guys of like mind and seeking the light and seeking the truth. There was just a confluence of everything come together, and the Spirit put the word in Coach, and I'm telling you guys, it was the most powerful thing I've ever had in my life. You know, I love my wife. My wife is the greatest thing, second greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But this weekend is the most powerful thing I've ever happened in my life, and I praise God that Coach Dave come into my life. He has planted a seed here in Joplin, Missouri, with the guys that are spread out over, you know, with George being down in Tulsa, and that's Danny White. I remember Danny because
Danny White. He's thank you, man. Danny White,
like the old Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Quarterback.
Thanks, man. Danny White. Thank you.
And Danny White and Paul Webb and George Lewis and I can't remember Craig's last name. Aldemeyer. Ray LeBron.
Aldemeyer.
These were individuals that had little or no connection whatsoever, but we are brothers in the spirit forever now, forever. We are blood brothers. We are blood brothers. We're brothers in the spirit, and they talk, we had conversations about the Masonic Lodge, and we talked about a lot of stuff this weekend, and I'm going to tell you, these guys, I trust absolutely with everything I would have. And I'm going to everything, anything I have, these guys will die for the Lord. Every one of us will die for the Lord.
And, I believe that, brother. I believe that. I'm telling you. I believe that.
It's just like Coach saw Doug, who's our caretaker at the little church we've got, and Doug is a stout little boy now. I'm telling you, he's a country boy, and he is a stout boy. And Coach looked at him. He said, "That man would die for the Lord. He'll die for that pastor, and he will." These are people. Mm-hmm. We are all now. Mm-hmm. We are all converted and convicted.
Mm. Oh, brother, I'm trying to look for that. And Luke, listen, guys, I want you to understand. I'm Kevin wouldn't mind me sharing this. I'm going to share this. I know he wouldn't. Kevin,
you just go, Coach.
Kevin has lost everything to the IRS. Through a series of events, he lost his home. He lost everything to the IRS. Now he's back on his feet. He has a successful real estate brokerage out in the Joplin area. He's doing well, but guys, listen. You know why God's going to use Kevin? You know why God's going to use Doug? You know why God's going to use Doug, who spent 22 years in prison? 22 years in prison. Doug, we ran into out there. You know why God's going to use them? Because they lost everything. And they know what it's like. Once everything's been taken away from you, and you realize life still goes on, well, they know nothing can hold you back now. What the hell? What are they going to take from you? Your life? Well, you're a dead man anyway, right? So Kevin Van Story is deeply committed because the IRS has already taken everything he had. He didn't have anything else to lose. He started over, and he's gone after it again. Doug spent 22 years in jail. 22 years in jail.
He has also learned that when everything you have here on earth is taken, you still have a future. And if everything gets taken again, you still have a future.
Amen. I'm gonna share right quick if you can, Coach.
Sure.
January 31st of 2012, my home was foreclosed on the courthouse steps. I was there to make sure that it was done properly. And me and the local banker that did that had a pretty heated little discussion afterward. But I made sure that he understand that the timeline that I was going to stay in that house after they did that. And after that, there's a pergola with a picnic table on the southeast corner of the square. And after they did that, I went over and I had about a 30-minute conversation with God. It was and it was me accepting and acknowledging that I am nothing on this earth and that I needed him to guide me from where I was going to go. And that same day, the Missouri Department of Revenue swept my checking accounts for back taxes, state taxes in Missouri too. So I had $23 in my billfold January 31st of 2012. Now
they cleaned out your folks. Are you seeing this? They cleaned out his accounts. They sold his house. How many kids you have, Kevin?
At that time, I had four kids still at home.
Four kids in a home, and they take his home. The IRS steals his home from him, cleans out his bank account, got $23 in his wallet.
But I can tell you this, just, you know, not to play off that song, Carrie Underwood said, you know, Jesus, take a wheel. No, okay, I let God put control of my life, and I just started listening to the Holy Spirit. I started praying. I started doing the things I needed to do to start, you know, you got to have money to survive. And just prior to that, in 2011, Rachel had introduced me to the church. The first time I went in this little church, it activated the Holy Spirit in me, and my pastor, he's up there in age, but he's a teaching pastor. And of course, he's got, you know, he's kind of set in his ways, but he is open-minded, and the sermon or the kickoff announcement that Coach did Friday evening, he got to hear it, and he was enlightened, and he was compelled. He was compelled, and he felt compelled enough to make a good donation to Pass the Salt Ministries. And it was just, I'm going to tell you guys, God's put me here for a reason. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And we're going to set the, Coach Dave lit the tinder in me, and the fire is blazing. The light is shining, and we're going to change every way I can the way that people have been looking at church. Like Dave does it so much differently, and he gives us the spiritual meat that we need, and as far as direction, as far as a coach, we all need coaches.
Yeah.
You know, the smartest people in the world still need coaches. And that's what I appreciate about Dave, and just listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, you know, pray fervent prayer. Fervent meditative prayer is awesome. So, Coach, I cannot thank you enough.
Brother,
I appreciate you.
Brother,
can I follow two points from Coach?
No, yeah, please.
You know, Kevin, earlier you said the group of you guys that was there that you have all confidence and that you have all allegiance to with that group, and that you believe each and every one of them would die for the Lord. One point I would like to make is we do understand that as members of the body of Christ, that means we would die for each other.
Amen.
Well, Larry, that's why we got to get together and fellowship with each other and get to know each other. I agree with that spirit. But you can't die for somebody you don't really know, that you're not really in a relationship with. That's why it's important. June 15th through 17th, start saving your dollars to get up here to be part
right.
of
it. Dave and Dave and Kevin, I just wanted to say that don't think that storm was accidental. Because what that storm did is that separated the pretenders from the contenders.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Chad.
Wheat from the chaff.
You know what I'm saying?
The wheat from the chaff.
You already testified that, hey, if we'd have had 50 people there, what happened would not have happened.
Would not have happened.
Now, guess what's going to happen on the next meeting?
That's right. It's going to continue to. Chad, you know this. You're the defensive coordinator or the special teams guy, and you got it. You're finding players. You're finding players.
I like defensive coordinator better than special teams. Yeah, I want to hit people in the face.
No, you told me you wanted to be special teams coach. That's what you told me. So I gave you that job.
All right, whatever you want, Coach. I'm just here to play.
What is the best tent campground? Now, I realize there are not hardly any only tent campgrounds, but what's the best campground that is favorable?
Buckeye Lake, Ohio. There's a campground, KOA, KOA, Buckeye Lake, Ohio. It's a nice one. Real nice one. Okay. And that's about 4 miles. Really, really handy. And, you know, I'll figure out Larry, I'm just in the process of it. I'm going to try to find places where guys can sleep on the floors if they have to. Bring a sleeping bag and sleep on the floor. It's like Chad said, it's church camp for adults. That's what I want it to be, church camp for adults. Some guys want to stay in hotels and want to bring their wives. And I understand this. I understand it. But this is a man thing. It's a man thing. If the women want to come, I'm sure Michelle would organize and keep the women, you know, do stuff. But this is a man thing. So I'm not discouraging you about bringing your wife. Don't hear what I didn't say. But this is a man thing. Now, okay. Hey, George, can you? God bless George Lewis. God bless George Lewis. George is contagious. Because not only is George hooked, George is a fisher of men. And George sees other guys who are struggling and need something deeper in their life, and he goes after them in the most unpretentious way. They're being hooked and don't even know that they're being hooked. And he brought those guys, and Danny and Paul, their life was changed. And George so daggone generous and giving. And jump in here, George, and just share with these folks. Hey, listen, folks, I just think this is important that you hear this, okay? That you understand what's going on here.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Coach. Man, you know what? I'm just humbled to be a part of all this. You know, like Ken said, we could not have orchestrated this weekend. It was just a God thing. And you know, Kevin, you know, we've all heard that saying, we don't know seeds are in an apple, but we don't know how many apples are in a seed. I don't think we have any idea what's going to come out of this weekend.
No, either.
It was just phenomenal, Coach, because it's something I think all of us men, we crave deeply, and that's that intimate fellowship and a God that aren't perfect, that we don't have our act all together, but you know what, we're striving, we're seeking for the deeper things of the Lord. And Coach, I just appreciate you taking the time to do what you did, and Kevin, you taking the time to do what you did, because it just all came together, and I'm just humbled to be a very small part of what God's doing in his kingdom. And I think if we just find our niche, our role, I think Coach is so great at helping each one of us what we're good at. I know the words Coach spoke over me, that just kind of helps and confirms what I need to keep doing, just like all of you need to focus on what God's put in your heart and what he has for you to do. So anyway, thank you, Coach. Thank you, Kevin. And and Wes Scroggins, all you guys that came
Wes,
this weekend. Man, it blessed my life in a very powerful way.
Hey, Jared, throw that picture back up there if you can. the picture of that scruffy group of ministers that we've thrown up there, you know. Where's Jared? Look at those guys, huh? Look at those guys. And I was teasing them yesterday and said, hey, Reverend Ray LeBlanc and Reverend George Lewis and Reverend Kevin Van Story. I said, now listen, I don't want to ever hear you call yourself that, okay? I don't want you to ever call yourself that. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, advancing the kingdom of God. And you now have a piece of paper that validates to the state what the God has called in your life to do. But you don't use that to hoard yourself over somebody else. You don't use that to get yourself a big platform where you can skid up and you can be the head pastor and somebody else can be the associate pastor and a minister of music and a minister of children. No. These are street rats. You understand what I'm saying? These are guys that are going to go into the highways and the byways. These are the guys that are going to go to the homosexual pride parades. These are the guys that are going to go to the abortion clinics. These guys are going into the jails. These guys are going to go into the schools. These are the guys. These are infiltrators.
Amen, Coach.
And I believe the Lord wants us to have many, many more. I believe many of you here. So we're going to be in Wisconsin. I'm going to lay our hands. It was powerful. Every one of these guys laid their hands on each other. Powerful, man. Powerful thing. Wow. And we want to do that again. There's a call on your life. Now, I want to share. God, I don't know if I have time. I got to share it real quickly if I can. Let's go to Luke 22. We'll have to hurry to get this in. But I want you guys to see this, okay? Man, what the Lord gave me yesterday. That's powerful yesterday, too.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Less than 30 seconds before you go to Luke 22, I feel compelled to share that one of the hardest things to do in trusting and standing and encouraging and working with each other as members of the body of Christ is learning to trust your true brother's assessment of who else is a true brother. If we don't learn to do that, we'll spend our entire time doing our own testing. And
amen, Larry. Johnny Appleseed George brought two solid trees. That's what Larry's saying. I didn't have to vet them. George knew them. George had built into their life. I knew they were men of God because I know George is a man of God. And George brought two men of God with. That's a very good point, Larry. I don't have time to vet everybody. I don't have time to do it. I'm trying to send forth workers. Jared, let's go to verse 25 because here's what it is. That's right. I shared this with the guys yesterday, Saturday before the ordination, because we can't figure out why only five guys come. Why you invite 50 and nobody come? And you're all excited and said, you know, boy, Lord, and you're looking for somebody on fire and ain't nobody on fire. And they're all phonies. You get mad. And I said, listen, we've got to stop getting angry with them. And I'm going to show you why. Jesus is gathered with his disciples. We're in Luke 22. Jesus is getting ready to leave. And in verse 22, it says this. He's getting ready to leave the guys. And he just told him one of you is going to betray me. I'm trying to get to it. In verse 22, then, Jesus says, and truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he's betrayed. Jesus just said somebody's going to be betraying me, okay? Verse 23, and then the disciples began to inquire among themselves, Who's gonna turn him in? Who? Are you gonna turn him in, George? George, are you? Hey, Bartholomew, are you turning him in? Who's gonna do this? They're arguing amongst themselves, and there was strife among them because can you get this picture? They're arguing over which of them should be accounted the greatest. So as the accusations begin to fly, they all start showing their credentials. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, when I did this, yeah. Well, I did that, too. And you didn't come on this one. Yeah, I was there. You didn't. And they began to argue among themselves about how righteous they were. Do you get the picture here? Is this the American church or what? Huh? Jesus shuts them up right here. And he said unto them, boys, quit acting like the world. The kings of the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Benefactors. He said, but that's not going to be you guys, because he that is greatest among you will be the younger, and he that is chief is going to be the one that serves. For who's greater, the one that sits at the meat and eats it, or he that serves it? Isn't a servant better? But I am among you as a servant. He said, Jesus says, I'm the top dog. And I don't act like it. I serve. And most people who serve the Lord because they are benefactors. They're serving the Lord for what they get out of it. And Jesus said to these 12, that's not us. That ain't you. We're not in this for what we can get out of it. You with me? And then he says, you are, verse 28. You guys, you've continued with me in my temptations. He says, listen, dudes, y'all been there for me. Y'all been there for me. Will you quit this bickering? Y'all been there. Watch this. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. Because y'all been with me and you've been faithful, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Just like my Father has given me one and appointed one unto me. That you're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now hang on. Because here's where I'm going. Here's a question I'm going to ask you. And then I'm going to put the cherry on top of it here. I'm not, I don't, I don't know if you're saved or not, and I don't care. The question I want to ask you is, are you converted? Are you converted? Or are you saved and a benefactor? Are you saved? But you're saved because of everything you're going to get out of it? Jesus said, that ain't the way it works, boys. That's not the way it works. So see, he just lays this all out. You're going to rule and reign with me. And then watch what happens. The guy, the first guy who got the revelation of who Jesus was Peter. I got to hurry. Remember? Who do men say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, oh, blessed are you, Simon, flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, my Father, heaven, upon this rock, going to build a church, gates held on prayer. Peter is the first one to recognize who Jesus was. And watch this in verse 33. And Jesus turned, verse 31. And he turns to him and he says, Simon, Simon. Anytime it's double, buddy, double emphasis. Pete, oh, Pete, I got to tell you, Pete, you are in for it, dude. Because Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Can you imagine that? These guys are all arguing back and forth of who's the greatest, and he turns to Peter. Say loud now. Hey, you better buckle in, boy, because Satan's going to do, oh, boy, going to be a work done against you, buddy. And then he says, look, I prayed for you, Jesus said, that your faith fail you not. Watch this. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother. I'm out a minute. I don't know what you think. I think the dude's already saved. I think the 12 disciples are already saved. He ain't talking about salvation here. He's not talking about coming to the Lord. He's not talking about serving Jesus. He's talking about getting to the point where there is an exchange of Peter's life for the life of Christ. Right now, Peter has received Christ, but he's not converted. I'm running out of time. Maybe I'll pick up tomorrow. I can take you into Matthew and I can show you what I believe is the conversion point in Peter.
Amen.
And when Jesus is being betrayed, Peter follows and watches the whole thing from a distance. All the other disciples fled, all of them. They're saved, but they're of no use to him because they fled. And Peter follows him all the way through it. And then Peter has a conversion moment, says where he wept bitterly. Peter wept bitterly. And I believe it was the conversion point in Peter's life. And Peter was never the same. But I don't want you to miss this. All 12 disciples were martyred. Except John, he didn't die at Patmos, but they tried to boil him in oil and he didn't die. All of them were. Now wait a minute. They all deserted him. They deserted Jesus at the crucifixion. Ah! But what was Jesus' promise and Jesus' prayer to Peter? That when you are converted, Pete, when you go in with both feet, Pete, strengthen your brother. And even though we can't see it, something happened in Peter that he went after those 12 guys, those 11 guys, and he brought them back into the fold. We don't know what it was. We don't know what it was, but something deep happened in Peter that when he went out and he ran them boys down. Can you imagine that? When he ran those guys down and he brought them back in. Can you imagine that? Kevin Van Story, on February 10th, was converted. He's already saved. He got converted. Danny White's converted. You guys, you understand what I'm talking to you guys?
Amen.
This is deeper and more powerful than what we even understand, because God is raising up godly men who are going to strengthen their brother. That's what this whole thing is all about. Do me a favor. June 15, 16, and 17. Put it on your calendar. Right now. Put it on there. Start putting $20 away a week so you don't have any excuse to be able to make it here. All right? And when thou art converted, Satan has desired he might have you, that he might sift you like wheat, Kevin. But when you are converted, not if, when you make it through it, and when your heart goes totally and completely hard after me, you'll find some of the other boys, bringing them into the fold as well. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.